Chicago, that toddle in town.
Good afternoon. Chicago. We're back on the air, our village news. And I've got Chris on my side here to help me out. And, of course, Matt, he's in the engineer room working on all these computers and controls and so forth. So, like NASA. Massive. Yeah. Oh, NASA. Yeah. We're not going to go into a countdown, are we? Matt, by the way, we've had a little problem with his dinner. He got it up to 850, sent out all the invitations, but it was the day they changed the postage. So now they're all coming back because he owes 2 cents more in each one. So I just want to tell you, if you didn't get your invitation, hold on. It's on its way. And as soon as the U.S. Postal Service. I have other words for them.
I think the service is where you come into trouble.
I think that's where we made a mistake. You can't use the word service and postal in the same sentence.
Probably.
But, yeah, when they get back to you, you know, within the next year, 2 years, whatever, by then they'll have another increase, so you'll have to put another 2 cents on. But anyway, he's working on it. Mm. So how are you today, Matt? Are you well?
Yes.
You look well.
Feeling well.
That's good. I'm glad of that. It's a beautiful day. Why aren't I out playing golf?
Do we still have our golf clubs?
Oh, yeah. I could.
It's been so many years, I forget.
I know it.
They are.
I know it. Well, you know, we own two newspapers, and they're, you know, the little community-type papers, and it's Our Village and Village Square, and it's up in the northwest side there. And so we have to put that together all the time. And then, of course, we have this radio show, which kind of connects in and out. We're not going for worldwide things or the nation or whatever. That's their problems. They're going to have a lot of them. They have a lot of them. And, you know, last night they had a debate. Mm-hmm. Now, I noticed the media in this country is really terrific. And we're part of the media. And I read both the Chicago papers today. There was nothing in there about the debate.
The daily papers?
Yeah. The Sun-Times and the Tribune. I didn't see anything. I might have missed it, but there was nothing on about this debate last night. Well, I think people should hear both sides of the story. And whether you like a person or don't like a person, you've got to give the devil his due and listen to him.
Yes.
Now, I thought maybe it was deadline time, and they had to get to the press and so forth. Mm-hmm. But then I looked back through to the sports page, and they called off a baseball game just about the time that this debate was about over. And I saw they got that printed in there, no problem. They printed up today that, you know, it was postponed, and they'll have the game today. Mm-hmm. So I just wonder, is this just another... the media controlling us? We've got to be careful in this country, even on the local level, and maybe the local level especially, that we don't let everybody control us. You got the gasoline companies. I'd be glad to discuss that all day with anybody. They control the country right now. They're the guys that are calling the shots. Mm-hmm. And something has to be done. Our politicians, of course, they're too busy doing other things, and they couldn't be bothered with that gasoline problem because they have their own itinerary to take care of.
Mm-hmm.
And it sometimes seems like we don't fit into that. So, you know, the gasoline companies, people have got to start yelling at their congressmen to do something. Don't tell me you can't do it. Do it, because it can be done. First, you can stop them from breaking about 3 or 4 laws. That's how you could start with the gasoline companies, through the politicians. And the people could maybe boycott for a long time a particular gas company. The people, I don't know who thought that up, but the people gave the gasoline companies a terrific idea yesterday. They said on yesterday was...
The 15th,
nobody goes and buys gas.
This was the people out there said that
the people were, said that. We're not going to buy gasoline on the 15th.
Boycott, in other words.
Boycott it for the 15th. Mm-hmm. Terrific. Anybody that's got much intelligence could say, look, you got to buy a certain amount of gallons of gas a day or a week or however you want to do it, but you're going to drive so many miles, you need so much gas. The oil companies have just been fed an idea. Mm. Why don't we shut down 3 days a week? We can shut it down Monday. We can shut it down Wednesday and maybe Friday.
Yeah, huh? And then they could raise the prices those other days, so then their profits would go up even more.
I can't understand how we think about these things. If you want to get something done, you can't go and just go, oh, there you go, a little pat. No, you got to start getting at it.
Yeah.
And say, let's take one oil company, any one of them. Say, we're going to boycott them for 60 days. Use any other gas you want, but don't buy from that particular company. If you boycotted them, eventually their buddies are all going to get together and say, we must do something about this. Answers that I hear coming out of Washington are almost ridiculous. So I just feel, I don't want to get on a rant about this thing, but I think we got to start watching ourselves. Mm-hmm. Gasoline, they charge whatever they want, and you're going to pay it. Now they got the electric companies
going
up.
It's like with anything. I was just going to say utilities.
The electric, the utility companies, they're going ahead. The postage, you know. All of these things may need, some of them may need an increase, but I have a feeling if somebody ever sat down from the business side and said, look, let's work this out. Let's figure out what the problem really is and then get it solved. We might be better off.
And these are all of the mandatory things you have to have in your life. You have to have heat. You have to have light. You have to have gasoline, as you say. Postage, yes, it comes in very handy.
I think rather, I'm not Democrat or Republican, believe me. I just feel that the politicians that are in there should start doing their job. Doing their job. That seemed to me to be that they work for the people, not run around the country, have fun, you know, do all of your little speeches and this and that. Mm. You know, I think if you work for the government, you want to run, that's great. But don't take money from the government, because you're out there collecting it by the millions anyway. So, but anyway, we saw that debate last night. Mm. It was a bit interesting. I mean, people really got into it a little bit.
Yeah, they did.
And it almost seemed like a debate for a while.
Yeah.
You know.
In fact, that was a better idea that you had, I think, about for any of these groups of people, whether it be Democrat, Republican, independents, I guess don't have a shot, but to have them all sitting around a big table and debate with one another about issues, have them talk about them.
I think if they wanted to do it honestly, if they wanted to really say, I am interested in my constituency, that they would say, why don't we take a certain amount of months before these elections come, and we'll put down certain things that are important, and then on the first night of the debate, have it that way, that you've only got one or two questions out there. Nothing else can be referred to. You must just address those two. And then maybe in 2 weeks or 3 weeks, send up the next one again with just one or two questions.
Mm-hmm.
And give them the time to answer these, you know. Rather than get up there and say, see my suit and see my shoes. Aren't I pretty? Mm-hmm. And, gee, I'm a nice guy.
And hopefully I don't make any major mistakes.
Yeah, and I won't trip on the podium so you won't vote for me. But other than that, these are not debates.
No, these
are promos to show what we got out there.
Right. Well, we're going to be having actually a round table, not so much a debate, but a round table discussion in a couple of weeks.
That's right.
Talking about, I think a lot of the things that are going on in our society are centered around violence.
And we're going to have
disrespect
people.
Respect for other people, and this is going to be a discussion with
right. There's
people.
Going to be a judge there.
Mm-hmm.
There'll also be one of the heads of the university psychology. Whatever.
Oh, psychology or psychiatric either.
Systems. Uh-huh. Then we're going to have a couple of people that are just people off the street that make a living every day.
Mm-hmm.
And that's another thing that really frosts me sometimes on these TV programs. They bring in these, quotes, experts. They don't even know the history of what they're talking about most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
But they get in there and they love to rumble and ramble and nobody gets anything out of it.
Yeah.
You know, I would rather see them come in and talk about maybe how they're all planning to change America into the, what is it, one America
mm-hmm.
from Canada.
I think they call it the North American Union.
Yeah, North American Union.
It's the European Union.
Nobody seems to want to talk about that. Nobody wants to really talk about too much as to how our import-export business is going.
Because that would involve Canada, the U.S., and Mexico only. Not South or Central America.
Yeah. And there are people that are working on this at a high level. But they don't seem to want to talk about that. They want to talk about, you know, what kind of shoes or whatever somebody wore, or they said the wrong thing, or they got the haircut in the wrong place, or whatever. But they don't want to get down to what's really getting to us. Mm-hmm. We're at 1-708-493-1530. That's 708-493-1530. Why don't you give us a call?
Yeah.
So
talk to us a little bit. Tell us what
you think.
Like
I say, we're just two small papers that has a radio show, and it's really directed to the guy that's on the street in the neighborhood.
Mm-hmm. And by the way, just to remind people, too, all of our radio programs become podcasts on our website. So if people would like to rehear a program or maybe go back and hear a program that they may have missed live, they can call us up online at www.ourvillagechicago.com. That's ourvillagechicago.com. And you'll see in the nav bar where you can go to the podcasts and then choose by the different descriptions which one you'd like to hear again.
Yeah,
and,
that's
a nice
good
way to access it.
We have
today
we will be having continuations of things that are going on, so you may want to go to podcasts because you'll hear one, but then you want to go back maybe and hear the other one or two. Now, when you get on the podcast, it points out who the people are and so forth.
Correct.
So you don't have to listen to my drool voice for an hour. You can go right to it. So,
yeah, no, they are listed, yeah, with by category as to who's on. Today, we have some interesting people who are going to be joining us by phone. Jim Delmedico, 41st Ward Community Rep, may be calling in a little bit later if he can break away from his duties, talk about Memorial Day observations. And Bosley is going to be calling in with his mom, Nicole Carfora, who is the owner of Canine Corral in Norwood Park. She'll be sharing some information with us. They were on vacation last week, so they have maybe have some reports about what they did on their fun time. And we're going to be hearing also from Nick Erhausen of Erhausen Greenhouses in Lincolnwood about the season that we are in right now, planting season, different types of containers that you might want to think about, and in lieu of putting things in the soil, using container planting instead. So we'll go over a lot of those things with him when he calls in.
Then, of course, coming up in a couple of weeks is Memorial Day. And, unfortunately, somebody changed the Memorial Day to hook into a weekend, and then that converted into the beginning of summer.
Mm.
Memorial Day is not the beginning of summer. Memorial Day is to remember all those that died so that we could say the things and do the things we do today.
Yes.
And it's a very, should be, a very, the day that you kind of...
It's a somber day.
Reflect on maybe people that had given their lives or had been shot up bad or just gave the time and went into combat. I won't mention who it is, but they send us a release once a year. And what they do is that they have a parade, and they don't, but at the end of the parade, their area is open so that you can come in and bring the kids in and have toys and play games and eat for nothing and have a great time. I told them once, don't bother sending this. The second time they sent it, I called them up and said, why? Why do you take Memorial Day to do something this stupid? Why do you do that? Well, we want our children to be held away from it. I said, I can't even believe that. You're lying to your kids? This is a real world out there. We've lost a tremendous amount of people just so we can do the things we do today. And please, when it comes to Memorial Day, take that time and think about it. It's not a day to sell hot dogs and beers. It's not a day to take rides. It's a day to remember. And you don't have to take all day, but take some of the day. And I would explain it to my kids, and this is what it's all about. Because someday, kid, you're going to grow up, and you might come home in your uniform and be worried about whether you're going to come home at all. So Memorial Day is a very touching day, and it should be held that way. Mm-hmm. So,
yes. And there are a lot of people who do take the time to reflect upon the observances of the day. And not to forget also, I know it's, another day probably is designated for this, but let's always remember our men and women who are actively in the military right now, and whether they're serving in some combat area or just serving our country, we don't want to ever forget them either.
That's right. They're out there working every day, and it's almost sickening when people say, we want to take and run away, or we want to leave our troops without the proper equipment so that they'll bring them home. And I just never thought that I would live to see the day that America would act this way. We've got a tough job over there, and if we don't clean it up over there, we're going to have a tough job here, because these people over there are not friendly, good old guys you can sit around and talk to. They want us, and we got to stop them from getting us. And it's really a sad, sad case. Not everybody, obviously, but there are a few people. They get up there and pump this idea, drop your rifle and run. I don't think it's a good idea at all. America is a winning team because it's a great country, and we've got to stand up for what's right. And we're at 708-493-1530. Mm-hmm.
Here's a place that's right anytime. Chef Werner's Mirabelle Restaurant and Lounge at 3454 West Addison Street in Chicago. Of course, I think a lot of people in the Chicagoland area through the years have known that Mirabelle is known widely for their great selection of German and American cuisine. They're open 6 days a week, closed on Sundays. However, they were open last Sunday for Mother's Day. Had a wonderful crowd over there. But the Mirabelle offers through the week early bird specials Monday through Friday from 3 p.m. to 6 p.m. And they have a great assortment of things you can order, all for $12.95 each. And they have, of course, a great selection of wines and beers, and Wiener Schnitzel is absolutely the best in the city. One of the wonderful things, too, that the Mirabelle has offered is that they have gift certificates for people who call in and win prizes on our program, and we try to combine those a little bit with theater tickets that we have. Right now we have Shenandoah at the Marriott in Lincolnshire and Ragtime at the Porchlight Theater in Chicago. So if people would like to call in, talk to us occasionally about different things or answer questions that we'll have in the future, you can win tickets and a gift certificate for the Mirabelle Restaurant and Lounge. Mirabelle, once again, is located at 3454 West Addison in Chicago. That's right on the way to Wrigley Field, so anytime before or after the games, great place to go. And you can call them at 773-463-1962 to make reservations for perhaps private parties. They have a private party room that you can use. Mirabelle Restaurant and Lounge. And that's Chef Werner and his family, Anita, his wife, and son Jeffrey, are owners of the establishment, mm-hmm. and are there.
In a very nice place.
It
For
is.
Many, many years it's been there.
Absolutely. And it's wonderful. You know, we talk so much about family or independently owned businesses, most of which are the types of businesses that we work with through our newspaper and our radio show. And it is nice to know that there are still people out there who are able to maintain these family-owned and independent businesses. Erhausen Greenhouses is one of those, been in business for 89 years. Birch Optical for 69 years. In fact, Paul Birch will be on our program next week with us here in the studio from Birch Optical, and he'll be talking a little bit about sunglasses for this time of year and sports accessories for your eyes. And so that'll be interesting.
Yeah,
because there's all different types.
He's good. He gave me a tip about sunglasses. I wear bifocals. Don't ever get them if you're a golfer. Don't ever get bifocal sunglasses, because when you look down, you can't really judge the ball really well, you know?
Uh-huh.
It's true. So
yeah.
I have just, you know, one set
uh-huh.
that are not bifocals, and those I use on the golf course.
Yeah.
The rest of the time, of course, I can't see, so I have to have the bifocals.
So that probably would be, and we'll talk to Paul about this next week, but those probably would be set up then to be able to see at a distance. So that would be for driving, golfing, you know, whatever.
Sure.
But that's a good point, because when you look down at the ball, it's going to be a little different distance than looking out into the fairway.
Well, I found playing golf, the important thing is to have a good excuse. That's why that didn't happen, you know. I had a friend once that said it's an amazing sport because you can look good and be absolutely terrible at it. So, go ahead.
It's a good time of year, though, to think about all these outdoor activities.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So,
you know, as I mentioned, Paul Birch will be here next week with us. But in the meantime, if you are in need of an eye exam or any professional eye wear at all, Birch Optical Company is located at 5493 Milwaukee Avenue. That's in Chicago in Gladstone Park. And once again, 69 years family owned and operated. Paul Birch and his partner, Ken Schmalzer, are there to serve you anytime. They offer most major insurance plan coverage, and they have also a $25 off of a complete set of eyewear gift that they would like to give the folks if they mention that they heard us on their program or heard Birch on our program here. So do mention that $25 coupon off on a complete set of eyewear. Birch Optical can be reached at 773-775-3300. That's 773-775-3300. 3300, you want to call and set up an appointment for an eye exam and a visit there. Birch Optical.
Very good.
You know, there's so many things going on around the city starting now with the summer upon us. And we're going to have some great information in our newspapers and on the air with this next month coming along about one thing is to how to take care of your bicycle. You know, a lot of people are getting more and more into bicycling. And this is with just the regular bicycle, not motorcycles. But I think a lot because people are into fitness and they want to be able to use that as a form of exercise, which is great. Gets you outside, gives you a nice reason to be out there. They have some great bike paths in and around Chicago, which we'll be talking about as well as just, you know, care and maintenance of your bicycle safety. I think a lot of people are confused somewhat about the different rules of the road. You know, do bicycles follow the same rules as the traffic out there? Are there bicycle lanes? I see those on the street. How exactly do those work? So we'll be having some information about all those things. And then also with the gas prices the way they are, I think a lot of folks are depending on bicycles to get them even to and from work or to school, certainly.
I think that's possible.
Mm-hmm.
It's possible.
Yeah.
And then bicycles, and they're good for you, healthy. There's nothing wrong with riding a bicycle.
No. Well, that's, you know, one of the reasons I think people like to get into these types of things. You know, to go out and say, gee, I'm going to exercise and get into shape, that's fine. But you have to have something to motivate you a little bit. And just to go out and walk is wonderful. But, you know, riding a bike is a little bit different type of exercise.
Yeah, and some things in life, that keeps you physically well. You don't have to go out and work out all the time. You're doing a lot of things that are physically good for you, like the bicycles and so
forth. Yeah, that can be aerobic, and then you see all the pretty scenery if you have a dog. Of course, I want to also mention this. Maybe we can talk to Nicole about this, too. We've seen in situations where people have been riding their bicycles and they have their dog on a leash going really, really fast. We saw this one case in particular where the poor dog was just actually, when they turned corners, was kind of spinning off his feet and... I think people should be a little bit careful about that.
I think they should be very careful of it. They don't know what the dog's speed is.
Mm-hmm. Or
they don't know when the dog starts to tire.
Uh-huh.
But if you're on walking with him, well, he'll usually slow up a little bit.
Sure.
Sit down. Or he'll let you know that I'm tired. I want to rest a minute, you know.
Yeah.
Because it might be hot. Uh-huh. And, you know, he gets tired like we do.
Mm-hmm.
And riding a bicycle and having your dog alongside you is almost cruelty to animals.
Well, if he's on a chain or a leash.
Yeah, it's almost cruelty to animals. Oh, if he's running alongside, that's fine. When we were kids, the dog would run alongside you on the bike. But then when he got tired, he'd just go out the side of the road.
Uh-huh.
But no, this putting a lead on a dog and then bicycling him, I think that's really a borderline to cruelty to animals.
Yeah. Well, sure, because you don't know what their endurance level is.
That's
and
right.
If you're trying to exercise them, it's like with people, you don't want to do all of your exercise in one day of the week and then don't do anything the rest of the week. So if it's a progressive type of a thing that you're building up, but
people should be a little bit considerate once in a while of whatever they're working with, you know.
Absolutely.
And, So when I was in the service, I knew a general, and he always ate the same food the men ate.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason was that he wanted to keep up the pace of his men. If he ate better than they did, mm-hmm. he'd never know when they were starting to wind down.
Uh-huh.
So he ate exactly what they ate.
Yeah.
And it was good.
Well, that makes sense.
So.
Absolutely.
Anyway, do we have a phone call?
Nope.
Yeah. We may.
Oh.
Jim.
Jim.
Hi, how are you guys?
Pretty good.
Well, this is the first time I tuned into your show, and I really like it. I know you talk about Republicans and Democrats and all types of stuff. And this, you just mentioned about dogs.
Yes.
And I thought I could give you guys a call. You were talking about it's possible, you know, that the dog is being, how did you put it? Cruel to animals.
It points not, you know, not everything, Jim, is 100%. You
right.
know that. I mean, we can say, well, that group is that, but not really so. A group, some of them do it and some of them don't. But with a dog, we've seen people that run a dog along. And the poor thing gets all petered out. And I think that's almost cruelty to an animal.
Well, you know, the only reason I'm calling is just to disagree somewhat, because I've seen a lot of fat dogs out there.
And that's true.
When I was a kid, I don't remember seeing so many fat dogs. You know what I'm saying? It's weird to see a retriever or a pointer overweight or a beagle that's really fat or even those little dogs, I can't think of the
Chihuahuas,
name.
Chihuahuas, even.
Well, Chihuahuas, I never see fat. Those things move like, I have three Chihuahuas, so those things move like crazy.
Well, you know,
they jump from one couch to the other. I mean, it's unbelievable. But you heard of bully breeds before, right?
Bully breeds?
Those are the, like the pit bulls or the
mastiffs
and stuff like that. They also, there's like boxers that could be put part of that breed. They call them bully breeds. Well, there's the actual competition for these dogs to pull. Most people think they're only bred to fight, but actually these dogs were bred to pull, and they actually have pulling competition.
Right.
With weights.
Yeah,
and if you have the correct harness and you know what you're doing, it's good for the animal.
Mm-hmm. Yes, we had a dog that used to be a puller. I never knew they called him Pulley, though. That was
We had a Samoyed.
Samoyed.
Was a sled dog,
He could pull all kinds of weight, you know.
Right. Well, those are sled dogs. But what I'm talking about, these dogs that are they have hardly any hair, and they're all muscle. They got the huge heads, you know, like a pit bull.
Mm-hmm.
You know what a pit bull is, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, or a mastiff, or, stuff like that.
There's
these
a Canary Island dog, I think. That's another
one.
Canary Island dog, I think, is another.
Yeah, he's a bit of a pit bull.
Yeah, they're known as bully breeds. But these dogs are bred to pull.
Yeah.
And in the old days, that's, you know, especially in a lot of the third world countries in Eastern Europe, man, these dogs, that's, you know, they couldn't afford a horse or a cow.
Mm-hmm.
So they had these dogs pull the wagons, you know, small wagons or you know, things like that for the farmers.
Jim, to answer back, to just discuss that one thing you brought up about, you know, fat dogs, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. That hurts my feelings because, you see, I'm about that weight.
But you're not a dog.
And I always tell people, I'm not overweight, I'm too short. If I were 9'3", I'd be in great shape. But
no matter what age, you're a dog still, huh?
I don't know your age, and I don't want to know, but going back a lot of years, we lived in a town or a city that wasn't as big as Chicago, so you could let the dog out, and he could, like, run and get, you know, a lot of energy, you know, spent out. Of course, today they've got to be, you know, and because of all the people and everything, they have to be more confined. And I believe that there is a cross line here between dogs and people. None of us would be very, very much overweight if we did watch our diet a little bit and said, well, you know, we just don't do that anymore, so I can't have the 2 pounds of steak, you know?
Well, a lot of us, I think, bought the dogs. We promised ourselves we're going to exercise and walk the dog and run with the dog and forget it. We just decided to stay home.
Yeah,
well, I'm at that age where I hope he can walk as slow as I can walk, you know, because I just kind of go down the street real easy. But
hey, what's the name of your newspaper, by the way?
Our Village.
And Village Square. What part of the area are you? North side or are you in the suburbs?
West side, south side.
West side and south side.
And I got property a lot of places, so I'm all over the place. But I'm originally a south side person, 51st and Halsted. Mm-hmm. And then back of the yards, real close to the back of the yards. And okay. Then from there, I went to some of the south suburbs, from there, west suburbs. I mean, I've been all over.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, I just wanted to share, too, you guys are in the newspaper business. Did you hear that Yolanda King died? The daughter of Martin Luther King Jr.?
No.
No, I don't believe I have heard that.
No.
Yeah, I just looked to know she died today.
Oh,
my God.
So
that's
Jerry
why
Falwell
we didn't pick
yesterday,
up on.
Her today.
We were on a deadline today, so we weren't listening. You know, we didn't follow the news yet until later on, you know?
Yeah.
Well, you know, we really appreciate your sharing that, really, because we hadn't heard that at all. And our newspapers they don't cover that kind of news particularly, you know. We come out twice a month and we cover the city of Chicago, but it's more, you know, community activities, that sort of thing.
Oh, that's cool.
We might have sounded a little political today, but we don't do that in the newspaper, you know. Unless we can get both sides of a story, why print it, you know?
I kind of look at some of our
competitors, and they say, well, they're going to endorse a guy.
Mm-hmm.
And I say, I don't have brains enough to vote for the right man, and these people are out there endorsing people to tell other people go vote for them. I don't want that part of the action.
Jim, do you like to go to the theater at all?
You know what? I haven't been to a theater for a long time, but I would love. Yeah, I love the theater. My wife and I used to go a lot of times, man.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that was
very good.
I know The Color Purple would be great.
I know we can't get tickets to that one, and that is a great play. We're doing a review on that.
This,
are you?
Next week there'll be the next edition. There'll be a review on The Color Purple. We have a whole page of review on theater. And our man is, we have a writer for that, and he writes it up. And most of the stuff that we do is done for the smaller theaters, you know, not the real downtown places where, let's face it, it costs a lot of money to take your wife out these days. Mm-hmm. And there are a lot of great theaters on the fringe, so we push those. But one in town.
The Shenandoah.
Shenandoah.
At the Marriott, and that's if that's convenient for you. After we get you off the air, stay on the phone with our director, Matt, and he'll take down your name and address, and we will send you something.
Oh,
okay.
Well, wow, what a surprise.
Well, thank you for calling. We appreciate
you're
it.
You're welcome.
And I'm going to try to lose weight.
I'm with you, brother.
Please call back. Have a good day.
And stay on the phone, and Matt will take down the information, okay?
Oh, okay, thanks.
Jim.
Bye-bye now.
Bye. And we have our friend Nicole.
Nicole?
On the phone.
Hi.
We were just talking to a very nice gentleman.
I was listening.
I
was listening.
Oh, you heard it.
Yeah.
Well,
we have to have your expert take on this.
Yeah,
now,
what would our little buddy think about this?
Little Bosley. Does he like to run alongside of a bicycle?
He would, and he does actually. I do take him every now and then to run alongside the bicycle.
You do,
which is actually kind of nice because it's like a sled dog. Then he pulls. I don't really have to do any work, which I don't think is good for me, but great for him.
But he's ahead of you, so he's running at his own pace.
Well, actually, I particularly have trained my guys. They run on the side of me. I won't let them run ahead of me.
Uh-huh.
Just because I'm afraid they're going to kill me.
Well, we've seen dogs out on the street with their masters, you know, and he's on a bicycle and he's riding with a lead, okay?
Uh-huh.
But I always said, you know, how does that guy know when that dog is tired or his leg is sore or he needs a drink of water? Because he's on his bicycle. You know, he's pretty cool. He's calm. But this poor little puppy's running alongside of me. He's dying with this thing. And I said, not everybody, but some people, I think, push it to the end. I don't think they should do
some
that.
Some people don't take into consideration that certain dogs can't go as far as others.
And then
I have two boys and a girl, and my boys could go a lot farther than my girls can't.
Uh-huh.
It's just she's lazy too, but it's just how they're designed.
Yeah.
And then maybe also the day itself, you know, if it's a very hot, humid day, I mean, just like we would become more
fatigued. If you are going to run with your dog or bike with your dog, I always recommend do it really either early in the morning or later in the evening, you know, when the weather cools down.
Mm-hmm. Should we take water along for the dog too, or is it bad for them to like drink water when they're really hot like that?
No, it's good for them to always have water supplied for them.
Mm-hmm.
Don't let them, like, after they've done a nice run, don't let them gulp a whole gallon of it, because then they'll get an upset tummy.
Mm-hmm.
Restrict it to just a little bit so they're kind of wetting their whistle.
Just give
and there's plenty of products out now for carrying, you know, water with you for your dog.
I'm sorry, say that again?
There's great products out there right now for you to carry around.
Oh, really?
You know, for your dog. Yeah, there's little travel water bowls and water jugs.
Well,
and all kinds
nice.
Of fun, easy stuff to carry around.
Oh, excellent. So you don't have to bring their full water bowl from the house.
Exactly.
To tag along with, yeah.
But it is. Dogs need more exercise. There's too many overweight dogs.
Yes, but I think it's the point I guess I was trying to make was that it's like with people. You can't do everything all in one day. It's taken most of us years to get out of shape and gain weight.
Yeah, exactly.
So you have to do this in a progressive way so that you're not overtaxing your system and you have better results that way, because if you don't, you know, the old thing about no pain, no gain, but if you hurt too much, then you're going to say, oh, I don't want to do this anymore.
But I think that's the biggest mistake we make with people and with our dogs is, you know, you can't expect to run a mile. You know, start with running a block. Walking a block would even be helpful.
Exactly. Right. We had a dog that weighed 78 pounds at one point, and she was like 20 pounds overweight.
Yeah,
and I said, well, she's got to go out and get exercise. So we used to take her out and let her exercise, you know. But I didn't want her to be forced to exercise because she'd take a heart attack and die, maybe. You know,
uh-huh. She might be overweight, yeah. You do want to take it easy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
Nicole, you and Bosley were on a little bit of a vacation. Did you have a good time?
Well, I said I have a wonderful time. I was actually away, and my Bosley got to stay with his favorite person, Grandma Cheryl, where he got to be doted on and adored while I was out of town.
Oh, how nice. It's always nice to visit Grandma, right?
It is. It is, and it is really like going to Grandma's house. She's got more dog treats there and doesn't even have a dog.
Oh, and then, of course, she can send Bosley home when he starts to act up, right?
Exactly, and she had two of mine, so she was enjoying herself immensely.
Oh, terrific. Now, what do you have to share with us today? Any new news out there?
She's sharing a lot already.
Oh, a lot already, but any more new news?
The only thing I would say, there has been some more pet recalls on dog food, so still be aware. Everyone keeps asking me, what should they do? What should they do?
Uh-huh.
Basically, I have no idea. I'll be honest. I'm very confused myself. I would say trust in what your vet says, or pretty much everything that has been sold out there right now has been pulled from the market.
Mm-hmm.
Companies have been really good at that. I would suggest staying with a company then that is a little more offbeat, something you don't hear of a lot. And usually they have more quality ingredients that are locally found.
And those would be what kind of companies?
I don't know if I'd recommend them because I'm not getting into trouble here.
No, okay. Right. So you should check with your vet, though, right?
And then, yeah, but I would say, basically, if they don't advertise a lot on TV and radio, mm-hmm. usually they're a better quality dog food. Not always, but usually.
Right, okay, yeah, because the large corporations, of course, they blitz the market with everything, no matter
what. Exactly, and they're the ones who have to buy in mass quantities more, mm-hmm. and they're the ones who have all the advertising fees, and they're the ones that put more fillers in the dog's food, and that's where dogs become overweight more and get all these bad allergies and all kinds of stuff like that.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
I mean, that's just my belief anyway.
Yeah, mm-hmm. No, I'm sure you're very right about that. Also, we want to just stress to people, too, because the weather is nice now and people are going to be getting out more, and they're therefore taking their dogs and cats with them outside, to get that pet chip or the ID chip would be such a good idea, right?
Yes, it would, even an anti. And our pet peeve this week with grooming dogs has been, why don't people buy new collars for their dogs? We have groomed some of the most beautiful dogs, made them nice and clean, and we have to send them home with these grotesque collars.
Oh, my goodness. And you sell them right there at your
shop.
Yeah,
we sell, I don't even care where you buy, the dollar store sells them. They're very cheap if you get them. So pay attention to your dog's collars. And we've also had a series of collars that were starting to rip, where the dog could easily pull away from the owner. So don't forget to check your dog's collar every now and then.
Yeah, and springtime's a great time to do that, like you say. And you
it's
know
like
what?
Spring cleaning. Clean up your dog, your house, and the collar.
I'll tell you why people don't like to do that. Because they don't want to have to take the little tags off.
That has a lot to do with it. Yeah, they don't make those tags easy, especially the rabies tag that you get from the vet. Those aren't as easy as you think.
Right. But I'm sure where there's a will, there's a way, right?
There is, and as a tip for that, what you could do, when you get a name tag, usually you get like a keychain hook. So if you put the rabies tag on the keychain hook, then it's easier to change collars.
Ah, okay. Well, we'll encourage people to do all those things. Now, how do people get in touch with you, and how do they they make a
basically
point.
Basically, what they do, they could give us a call here at 775-1040. We're always happy to talk about dogs. Uh-huh. Or they can visit us on the web at caninecorral.net.
Mm-hmm. And people should know that Bosley's in both of our newspapers every time.
Yes, he very much enjoys writing his articles.
And the last time, there was a story about meeting at the Rainbow Bridge.
Yes.
I thought
it was kind of
very,
a sad
very
it was a sad
touching.
Time in our life, so he reflected it in his writing.
It was a very touching story.
In fact, it's going to be running again this issue of our paper, so if people missed it last time.
Oh, good.
So they get to see Bosley.
Yes, Bosley's also here. He is not here today
somebody's writing for
he
Bosley.
He had a long weekend.
Well, you have a good day.
Okay.
And we'll see you soon.
Okay, thanks, guys.
And take care of yourself.
Okay,
say
you
hello
too.
To
bye.
Bosley for me.
I will do that.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye, Nicole. That was Nicole Carfora, CMG, or Certified Master Groomer and owner of Canine Corral at 7040 West Higgins in Chicago. And her phone number, once again, is 773-775-1040. And their website, caninecorral.net, will give you all the information that you need about them.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, something I failed to do when I was talking about the Mirabelle, because we're going to be giving out gift certificates for the Mirabelle, is they also have a website. So the Mirabelle Restaurant and Lounge for that great German and American food, great Wiener Schnitzel, early bird specials. You can find them online at MirabelleRestaurant.com. MirabelleRestaurant.com. So please check them out there. And, you know, we're talking about weight and getting into shape that should not have us think that we can't eat wonderful foods like pizza, because pizza is really very healthy, and especially if it's made the right way. The Edison Park Inn in Edison Park at 6715 North Olmsted has a wonderful quality. They have a wood-burning oven that they cook their pizza in. They have a full menu of sandwiches and appetizers to partake of. They have a full-service lounge with all sporting events on satellite and cable. So for all of the different sporting events that come along all year, especially during the summer, there's so many. Please check them out. They're open 7 days a week from 11 o'clock in the morning. Their website, edisonparkinn.net, has their full listing of activities and a menu. And on the second floor at Edison Park Bowl, they have live music on the weekends, bowling in their 8-lane bowling alley for both leagues and private parties, and billiards. So book them for a private party. That's a lot of fun to do and a little different. Phone number there is 773-775-1404. That's 773-775-1404, Edison Park Inn.
Very good. Hello.
I think we're talking to Nick Erhausen. Hello, Nick.
Hello, Chris and Fred.
Hi,
hello,
Nick. There. How are you today?
I'm doing fine. I feel a lot better than the last time I was on.
Hi. Your voice is coming back.
Yeah.
Well, this weather, I hope, is good for you.
Oh, yes. It brings out everybody and gets everybody in the mood for thinking about planning and doing their planning. And
well, they should come and see you before they do anything.
Yeah.
But
absolutely. In fact, last time you were on with us, Nick, a few weeks ago, we were talking about the fact that the weather was, you know, still at that cool stage, and we were talking a little bit about the timing of when to start to plant, and that's always such a confusing time of the year. How does it look right now? Is this the time to really get going?
Oh, yeah, I think this weekend will really be, you know, the last frost date, you know, is usually around the 20th or the 21st.
And, mm-hmm.
You know, we're supposed to be a little cool tonight again and chance of rain, a little cooler tomorrow, but then it's supposed to warm up over the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And pretty much, you know, once you get to the 20s of May, it's pretty hard, you know, not to just make your commitment and start doing your planning.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you have some really sensitive tropical plants that you might want to wait until, you know, a little after Memorial Day.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, most of the things you can plant will be fine at that point.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we could always get something, you know, this is Chicago, you never know what can happen at any time of the year, but, you know, 98% of the years, I don't think there'd be any problem at this point.
Mm-hmm. Now, can people come in and buy their plants, like, let's say, this weekend, and then if it looks a little bit, you know, funny, like the weather's not quite where they want it to be, or maybe it's raining, can they keep those plants, like, in the little containers they buy them in, like, for the next weekend, and it won't do any damage to them, or?
Yeah, and I think one of the things I always hear from people is that they're going to put their plants in the garage.
Mm-hmm.
that's always one of the, you know, worst things I like to hear, because, you know, your garage is sort of moist, it's sort of dark, it's not, you know, a very good place for plants. And what I like to tell people to do is, you know, most nights and most days the weather's going to be fine. So if you are going to save your plants, you know, put them like on a patio or, you know, somewhere where they're a little bit protected, and then, you know, just keep them watered. And then if you do have a threat of a really cold night, or you get, you know, kind of like yesterday when we got those downpours or something, you know, there's going to be a lot of rain, then pull them inside, you know, put them in your garage, or put them in, you know, if you can put them in your house even, or in a hallway or something by the front door.
Right.
Just, you know, that's a much better way, you know, and of course, if you do just take all your plants and put them indoors, that's really not too good either, because it's almost too warm for them, you know, indoors all the time.
Right, but that would just be for a short period.
So what you want to do is you want to maintain, you know, them to be sort of, you know, acclimated to the weather and outside, but not to the point where if we get, you know, a really cold temperature, or we get one of these, you know, wind storms type of thing where it's going to blow them all apart, you really don't want that either.
No, that's right. And, of course, the tropicals, those are the ones you said really can't stand any frost at all.
The tropicals, I mean, you know, they're, you know, sometimes even just a little cool breeze on them, you know, in the 40s or something, well, it won't necessarily, you know, kill them or, you know, it'll just maybe rough them up a little where they won't look, you know, as well, you know, green as they should be or as healthy as they should be. But, you know, of course, oftentimes if that does happen to you, you know, if you're patient and you can, you know, just keep them, you know, alive by watering and, you know, when the heat does come, they'll grow plenty fast because tropical plants just love the heat, you know, and they can grow, you know, even they can grow more in a day than some of the, you know, like a geranium was going to grow in a week.
Yeah. Well, now, when you get these plants home and then maybe they're not going to plant them that weekend, how long is it safe to keep them in these little containers they buy them in before they actually get them in the ground?
If you maintain, you know, with watering that, you could keep them, you know, for a week or 2 weeks. Or, you know, it's just at some point, you know, they're kind of hard to keep watered in the little cells because as they're, everything at the greenhouse is sort of timed out for, you know, the season. And a little to get them looser, you know, so they'll, you know, you don't want to tear any roots off. But if they bound around the cell a lot, you might want to just loosen them up a little so when you put them in the hole, they can, you know, grab out and get into the ground.
Right. Now, we're talking about planting things in the ground, but you have some great suggestions for people who actually are like, the city dwellers who maybe don't have a yard to put plants in. They might want to put them in window boxes or containers of some sort. Is there any particular, and I know we'll be talking to you in the future about this as well, and we are going to be running an article in our newspaper, both of them this time, about just this subject. But are there particular types of plants that people should stay away from? Anything that you can maybe give us just in a nutshell as to what people should aim for?
Well, the first thing I'll say about, you know, container gardening is that in terms of the trend of today, you know, it's really whatever, you know, you like to mix in your containers. It's, you know, maybe 10 or 15 years ago, you know, the standard container that you would see would be, you know, the old-fashioned spike in the center, you know, with some geraniums around the, you know, around the spike, and then maybe either some vinca vines or some petunias. And that was pretty much every time you saw a planter, it was just some variation of those sort of couple items. And now, if you think about, you know, what do you see when you go down to, like, Michigan Avenue or, you know, downtown with all the plantings you see down there. What you see is sort of trying to control, you know, it's a controlled space, but we're trying to give it sort of a natural look. We're incorporating, you know, some plants like some grasses or some different kinds of, you know, unusual vining plants or blooming plants, you know, in sort of an asymmetrical pattern within the planter. So it's almost like a little slice of nature, more or less, instead of that really, you know, controlled, you know, geranium here and a spike there type of look. So you can, you know, use things like, you know, you can still use a spike, but maybe instead of the spike, you want to use a grass or a fern, and then in instead of putting it in the center, maybe you want to put it on the side of the pot.
Mm-hmm. Be a little artistic with it, right?
Yeah. And uh-huh. You know, a lot of times people ask me, am I doing, you know, this? And, you know, is it correct? Or, you know, my opinion for everybody is that, you know, you should just do, you know, the mixture in the planner that you think, you know, are the plants that you want to look at or the things that you think will look nice. And, mm-hmm. you know, everybody's going to enjoy your plants no matter what you kind of mix in there.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, that's coming from sort of an artistic standpoint.
Right.
But if you do want to get more like, you know, the technical bases or, you know, to think about what, you know, how do you go about planting one of these planters, you know, there is some, you know, selecting a plant that you want to do based on either the size of the container and the location.
When you, this is maybe off the subject, I don't know. Excuse me. When you have plants and they have flowers, they have to be pollinated, don't they, by the bees?
Well, that's really not as true anymore because most of these plants are all sort of hybrids.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll just sort of bloom with or without bees. The pollinating would be more for setting the seeds within the plant. So, you know, if they were growing the plants just for the purpose of getting the seed off of them, then that would be really important. But the way most of these plants that we, you know, use as our flowering annuals now, the flowers are almost sterile. You know, I mean, some of them still have seed, but
yeah.
a good mm-hmm. number of them are just sort of sterile and,
mm-hmm.
you know, they're just going to come no matter what.
I see. All right, there's a question because I saw somewhere the other day somebody, of course, everybody in this world is concerned about all kinds of things, I guess, but this particular person was concerned about we're losing the bee population.
Yeah.
And I said, what do I know about bees? I don't know where they all went, you know. But now, of course, well, the worry is, well, then they won't, there will be no pollination. Then there won't be any plants. And I think this had to do with all about, you know, how the earth is hurting
the
itself.
Global warming
and that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But it did strike me. I wonder if they do need as many bees or, you know, as they used to in order to pollinate this stuff. And you just answered the question.
I think that that story is more about the production of, like, fruits and vegetables. And, you know, they really need those bees.
Do they have to pollinate, like, beans and corn and that kind of thing?
Yeah. Those are, you know, you're growing a plant that's, you know, going to get either a fruit or a vegetable. And so it's, you know, it's necessary to pollinate, you know, to have all those things get pollinated. You know, and that's where the bees come in. So that's sort of a different offshoot of, you know, horticulture or agriculture where, you know, that's more growing.
Uh-huh. And it shouldn't affect anything then.
No, the bees would really have no impact on flowering annuals. But, you know, it is concerning to hear the story. And, you know, a lot of times these stories, it turns out to be some sort of natural thing that's occurring. It's not always an unnatural, you know, like global thing. It can be some predator is up. Or, you know,
the cycle of life, right?
Yeah. You know, that little worn out or, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Very good.
Well, Nick, thank you so much. And, of course, we've talked about this before and will in the future, the fact that Erhausen Greenhouses, which is your family-owned business for 89 years now, you and your cousin Gerard now run the business.
Yeah.
And you're located in Lincolnwood at 6973 Northeast Prairie Road. And that's a little bit tricky maybe if people don't know Lincolnwood, but it's just almost at the intersection of Pratt and Crawford.
Yeah.
It's easy to get to.
Oh, yeah, very easy to get to, yeah.
Yeah, uh-huh. Once you've gone there once, this is very easy.
Yeah,
you know, so.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So you're just actually like one block east of Crawford.
There's a big school complex on that corner, and basically we're just east of the school, and
mm-hmm.
the next street east of Crawford is East Prairie.
Uh-huh, and so, then north of Pratt, so.
Yeah, north of Pratt.
Real easy access. Mm-hmm. Yeah, easy access from the suburbs or the city, and all of your plants are grown in your Lincolnwood greenhouse.
Yeah, everything is grown from seed or cutting, and that allows us to control, you know, all the varieties and
uh-huh.
give everyone the best there is, you know, within each plant.
Right.
What we think is the best after all of our experience.
Yes, which you had much. When do you open?
Well, we're open from 8 to 5 on Saturday and Sunday, and then on weekdays, we're open from 8 to 8.
So 7 days a week, right?
Yeah, we're open 7 days. days of the week.
Okay, and the people can stop in and see you. Obviously, you have a website, erhausengreenhouses.com, so
yeah,
people can check that out.
Give you the directions a little better. It's not a really complicated website, but it gives a little information, hours and directions.
Okay. Well, we'll give your address again and your website at the end of the show so people can get to you, because this is the time to do it.
Yeah.
And in the meantime, they can find you on podcast, on our website, and also in our newspapers with that article we talked about with container gardening.
Right.
Yeah, the article will really tell a little bit more about, you know, some of the ideas I've touched on.
Great.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you.
Well, you have a good day.
Okay.
You take care.
Thank you, Nick. That was Nick Erhausen, Erhausen Greenhouses in Lincolnwood at 6973 Northeast Prairie Road. And as Nick said, that's actually just two blocks north of Toohey, so a block north of Pratt and one block east of Crawford.
He and his brother are really professional at this.
Mm-hmm.
And if I were going to put in a garden tomorrow, you know, I would go to them right away and talk to them for a few minutes. Because they can, you know, help you out in so many ways, things that people don't think of because they're not in that business. And these people are very dedicated people.
Absolutely.
So,
yes, and their website, once again, is erhausengreenhouses.com. That's U-R-H-A-U-S-E-N, Erhausen Greenhouses. So that'll give you even more information on how to get there and what they have. Here's a good friend of ours in the area that continually offers the number one service in immediate and personal response to your needs, a caring concept to help you be at home. Their goal is to assist you with your daily personal care and grooming, ambulation, and other activities of daily living. They help you prepare meals or will prepare meals for you, do light housekeeping, accompany you away from home if you need to make doctor's visits or trips of any sort. They offer homemaker companions, certified nurses' aides, and private duty aides. And most importantly, they try to place their caregivers who will share the concern for the comfort and well-being and the happiness of those they serve to make a good match there. There's no contract required. They're agency is licensed, bonded, and insured, and they offer short or long-term service based on either, 24/7, as they say, or just part-time. So please give them a call and find out what else they can do to assist you with your daily living and to help you be at home. 773-539-6600. That's 773-539-6600. Their website, acaringconcept.com. We'll be able to give you more information about their services, acaringconcept.com, to help you be at home. Nelson Funeral Homes, another family-owned and operated business since 1929, has two convenient home-like comfortable locations, one at 820 Talcott Road in Park Ridge and the other at 5149 North Ashland in Chicago in the Andersonville area. They have pre-planning options for those that may need future public assistance and for peace of mind, pricing options to fit all of your personal situations. They offer traditional services, memorial celebrations, cremation options, and pre-planning. They invite you to call them for no-obligation information on pre-arrangement at 847-823-5122. That's 847-823-5122. They have a website, nelsonfunerals.com. Nelson Funeral Homes, family-owned and operated since 1929.
Nice people.
Very nice.
Nice people.
Next week, we're going to be visiting with Paul Birch, Birch Optical, as we said. He'll be with us on the show.
He's a lot of fun on the show. Yeah.
And Becker Professional Pharmacy, Al Klein will be calling in and giving us some tips on what he does. And that's
we got a couple of places for Memorial Day, you know, parades, that type of thing to remember the fallen soldiers. And
very important.
So that would be interesting. So, and then maybe by then Matt will get back some of these invitations so he can then, you know, put the extra postage on and send them back out.
Right. You know. In the meantime, check us out online, OurVillageChicago.com, and you can hear the podcasts and check out our newspapers, OurVillageChicago.com. We'll be on again next week.
And the Bulls are working. They're still at it.
They are.
Go Bulls.
Have a good week, folks.
Take care of yourselves. Shut down.